Well, our scripture tonight is from the book of Psalm 121. The psalmist writes for us these words in the Psalm of Ascent. I lift up my eyes to the mountains, to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God's word for you, God's people. Amen. You bet. Well, you know, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at five daily practices, five daily activities that will help us to build and to keep momentum in our relationship with God. And to help us to remember these activities, we'll need to remember the acronym DRIVE. DRIVE. These are practices, activities, methods, as you would, that as we make them part of our daily life, they'll help us to stay on the journey of ascent to reach God's purpose in us. Now, in order for momentum to begin and continue, we have to shift our life into drive. We have to get out of park, in other words, because it's not likely you're going to move, that you're going to get direction in one's life if you just stay in park. It just won't happen. Of course, people stay in park for all kinds of reasons, but the two that I lifted up last week was, first of all, rationalization. We make ourselves the exception, all right? Or we have the big but problem. God, I'd love to get involved, but, you know, but I'm too busy, but I'm too whatever. And we also stay in part because of procrastination. We stop short before we ever get started, or we don't know where to begin, or because we're overwhelmed or disorganized, or we default to a lesser task. In other words, we avoid. But in order for us to get moving in our walk with Jesus, we have to get our foot off the brake, and we have to shift our life into drive. And so we first begin by shifting into D, right? Not P. Now, whenever I first learned how to drive, I didn't have those nice little letters to look at on my steering column. It tells my age, the steering column, or even the console. I was about 14 years old, and Dad basically said, here you go, son, get behind the wheel and give her a try. It was a 1965 half-ton Chevy pickup, and the gear shift on those is right on the column. It's your basic H. Towards you and down is low, straight up is reverse, and up and over is second, and of course straight down is third. But in order for that truck to go, you had to start out in first. Got to start out in first gear. Now, if you're on a hill and you kind of had a, you know, kind of got to rolling, you could stick it up in second, I suppose. But you know, if you tried to take off in second or tried to stake off in third, what's going to happen? It's not going. It's going to jump. It's going to sputter. It's just going to give you all kinds of trouble. But you see, in the same way, to get momentum going, to keep momentum going in our relationship with God, we have to shift. We have to daily shift our life into D, into drive. That's our first gear. D, our devotion, is the gear that gets us going. It's our go gear. All right. Now, when you think of the word devotion, when you think of the word devotion, what comes to your mind? What's some of the words that you think of when you think of the word devotion? Just pause and just think about that for a minute. What images, what thoughts come to your mind? Faithful. Devotion. Think about that. You know, whenever I Whenever I think about devotion, I think about my love for God. I think about my desire that God completely fill me to the very core of my being. That's one of the things I think about when I think about devotion. But probably the second thing that pops in my mind is church camp. Church camp. That devotion time that, you know, we relate a daily theme to a passage of Scripture, and we share together in a story, we sing songs, and then we have prayer and a word about the Scripture, and we do that all in about 20, 25 minutes or so. Remember those days? Maybe some of you, whenever I mention that word, devotion, one of the other things that pops in my head is Upper Room. It just there. Maybe you thought about something like the Upper Room, or maybe some other little devotional book that you have laying around your house there, that shares with you a daily Bible verse or a short story and a prayer that you can pray. And you know that's certainly part of what devotion is and what it can be. It's that drawing close to God through study and through reflection and journaling and prayer. But you see that the daily practice of devotion is so much more than just sitting down for 10 or 20 minutes a day doing study or just in prayer. You see, devotion is the practice of being fully aware of God's presence and being fully present to God. Those two pieces. And you see, this practice of being fully aware of God's presence and being fully present to God, this takes place in all of one's life, because all of life is spiritual. We try to compartmentalize things. You know, this is my work life, this is my family life, this is my spiritual life, this is my having fun part of life. But guess what? All of it together is life. And all of it is spiritual. It's all part of our life. So it's being fully aware of God being fully present to God in our home and in our study time and in my workplace and in my relationship with others, and certainly right here in the church. You know, one of the things that always has just kind of tripped my trigger, especially in the church, is whenever you hear someone say, well, you know, God just isn't present, or the Holy Spirit has just departed from us. I mean, really, come on. Because if we believe this, then we believe a theology that certainly is not what the Bible teaches us. Because what's the Bible teach us? Does the Bible teach us that because I don't sing so well, or because we sing the wrong kind of songs, whatever that is, or because the worship leader didn't have a good prayer, again, whatever that is, or because someone got angry with someone else in the church, or because the preacher preached too long, or because I just didn't get it, or God's not present and the Holy Spirit has just departed from us, or my cup just didn't get filled. That's a good one, isn't it? Don't you love those? Or does the Bible teach us that where two or three come together in my name, there I am? Are you really sure about that, Jesus? Yeah, he really is. Or like in John 14, Jesus tells us that I will ask the Father and he'll give you another counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be with you some of the time when things are going okay. But when things start getting rough, then, hey, I'm out of there. That's what Jesus said, right? No. I'm with you there forever. And Jesus goes on to say, he will live in you. Okay? He will be in you, and he will be with you, and he will be in you. Not some of the time, not most of the time, but how often? All the time. All the time. You mean even whenever I don't feel like he is? Yep. You mean even when I sin and I break relationship with someone in the church? Yeah. Yeah. And then Jesus, which by the way, it's because the Holy Spirit's in you and he brings you under conviction so that you can mend that relationship, okay? That's what's supposed to happen. And then Jesus says to us his very last words in the Great Commission following his resurrection. He tells us to go into all the world and to make disciples to the very ends of the earth. And he promises us, and surely I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Folks, how is it that people sometimes get to thinking that God will somehow leave us or forsake us? That he'll just, you know, exit the church building and just leave us all kind of just right here. That he will or he has kind of like removed his Holy Spirit from us, or that he is not present to us in the life of the church. Especially when places like Hebrews 13 quotes Deuteronomy 31 saying, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." Never. That's a long time. You see, I think folks get to thinking like this because we get our theology all twisted up because somehow we think that God is like us. And that's what I would do. I would leave the building. Or I'd break that relationship. Or I'd just pull away. We think of God like we think of man. How we respond must be how God would respond. Oh, but listen, God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. Or God never gives up on us or gets so upset with us that he just says, "I'm just not going to be with you anymore. I'm just going to take the Holy Spirit right away from you." God is not man. God is God. Always. My ways are not your ways. You can believe that. We really can. So, how is it that at times we feel as though God is not present or the Holy Spirit has somehow departed from us or we have that relationship in the church with someone, and whether they are or I am, whether they're being nasty and I'm responding to that by throwing up a wall, or I'm being nasty and they're being nasty back, or they're throwing up the wall. How? You see, it's not a God problem. It's not God doing it. It's a me problem. Always. Always. If you don't think that God is in your life, or that somehow God is not in his church, or that your cup just can't be filled, or, you know, then quite frankly, it's a you problem. Look in the mirror. Because what's looking back at you is showing you what's going on. You see, somewhere along the line, we shift in one of these areas, or maybe in more than one of these areas, into P. We shift ourselves into park. And chances are, somewhere along this DRIVE acronym, we shut down. We stop being fully present to God in one or more of these activities, or in something else. Either in devotion, we quit seeking God's presence through his word, through prayer, through journaling, or through worship, or through readiness for lifelong learning. We don't put anything new in our minds about God or about life. Remember, all of life is spiritual. Probably one of the big ones is this third one, the investing in relationships. Well, that probably does it more than anything else in the church anyways. If you've broken a key relationship at home or in church or with a friend, and quite frankly, you've just done nothing about it. It's just broken. It's just laying there and it's just festering. The walls are just there and nothing's happening because of it. And we wonder. We wonder why we don't experience God's presence like we did. Or it could be our vision. That is, our vision instead of God's vision for us. It could even be what we put in our body. You know, our eating, our exercise, our habits, our physical body keeps us from being all that we can be for God. I want to tell you, when I talk about eating and exercising, I'm talking about those physical habits that we do. Truly, how we charge our bodies really makes a difference. How we care for our bodies truly makes a difference. It truly is a temple of God. And I want to tell you something. It might not be eating and it might not be exercise, but when you sit in front of a television, you are eating up what you're watching. And you put the wrong kind of food into your mind, you can't ever forget it. You hear what I'm saying? And we wonder why I'm not feeling like I was feeling with the power and the presence of God. Yet God is always with us. God is always present. You see, it's not God, it's moving away from us. It's us putting ourselves somewheres here, moving away from God. God still walks right with us. God still continues to go with us as we move away from Him. But we don't recognize that. We start becoming dull to that. It's because we've gotten off and we've shifted into park. But God's always with us. God is always present. God is always speaking. But because of my own self, because of distractions and temptations, we miss it. So we need to practice physical disciplines to position ourselves to be fully present to the presence of God. And that's what this is about. Now, devotion is the practice of being fully aware of God's presence and fully present to God. And devotion is also linked to our passion, to the word passion. Like I said earlier, for me, devotion is my love for God. It's my passionate desire for God to fill and to be at the very core, at the very center of my being. My devotion, my passion, in other words, drives me. It drives you. I want to tell you, it's your passion that determines the action and the direction of your life, not your belief. Never your belief. But it's your passion that drives. We're driven by our passions in spite of our beliefs. your passion influences your behavior and your life actions more than your beliefs. Let me give you an example. I don't know how many times I've been to a restaurant and I've said to myself, now, you know, I just got to watch it here. I cannot do the dessert thing. I know that is not good for me. I don't need to do that. That's my belief. But guess what? The restaurant folks, they know that your passions are stronger than your beliefs. So what do they do? What do? They bring those stupid desserts to your table, you know, so you can see them, so you can smell them. And then they ask, would you like to have some dessert? So easy. They know that you're much more apt to give in to your passion. And so we have to be careful with our passions because they can betray us. On more than one occasion, I've seen good church folks destroy friendships, ministries, pastors, or other church leaders in the church because they let their passion get the best of them. That's what's going on right now in the United Methodist Church. This whole stuff of what we're talking about and the division and all, it's not about belief. It's about people's passions. Although their belief was to serve God faithfully, To love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, and to love neighbor as yourself, that because of passion, we can treat neighbor as one who just kind of needs to be cut off like a cancer. We hear it every day if we pay any kind of attention to the news and what's going on in the church. So our passions can become a destructive thing if we don't keep a close check and balance. Our passions can run away with us. That's just the animal. Our passions often override our belief or even our good sense. It's kind of like how many people who commit adultery believe in adultery? Think about that question. Do you believe in adultery? Oh, yeah, you know. People are probably not going to tell you that. But that very same person may find themselves committing adultery. But what drives the action is the passion. And so for me to have the right kind of passion to keep check on my passion so that in the name of Christ, I'm not letting my passions get the best of me and harming others and harming Christ's church, I have to keep my feet, myself, firmly grounded and directed through Scripture and through prayerfully seeking God and by being accountable to a spiritual mentor, bringing one or two or three other people alongside of me, because your passion can get the best of you. And the psalmist speaks to this in Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Well, my help, my meaning, my purpose, my life comes from the Lord. Comes from the maker of heaven and earth. The Lord is where my passion of devotion rests. Not out here in the hills, not in the mountains. But it rests with God here. You see, the psalmist knew that there were all kinds of temptations in the hills that would feed one's passions. When we read, I lift up my eyes to the hills, man, we tend to think that the hills are somehow inspirational, that they remind us of God. That's not what it means. That's not what the psalmist is saying. In the Jewish culture, during the time of these psalms that were written, the hills were counterfeit for the real thing. In this time of Jewish history, there were all kinds of pagan influences that had been assimilated into the culture. And so these pagan shrines were set up in the hillsides for a variety of ways to relieve aches or pains or any need that a person might find themselves needing. There were the over-the-counter gods that could offer a remedy for every weary traveler's need. If the journey to Jerusalem got just too much, then hey, there was even other gods that you could worship there in the hills. You didn't have to go all the way to Jerusalem. You could go to the sun priest for protection from the heat, or to the moon goddess to provide you relief from your emotional pain. And of course, there were the sacred prostitutes to relieve you of your sexual tensions. All the hills were full of all kinds of temptations. To venture off the path to Jerusalem, where one was traveling to make their honorable, excellent offering unto the Lord, to venture off the path was to venture into temptation. The temptation for immediate relief and gratification, to fulfill one's passion. Our passion, and it's got to be God-centered. Devotion is the practice of fully being aware of God's presence and to be fully present to God. I hope I keep saying that. I want you to grab that. And so the first discipline of my day is to practice being fully present to God. You know, from the folks, from the moment we get out of bed, my goodness, we know that the hills, we know that the mountains are all around us. And I know what's in the hills. I lift up my eyes, and where does my help come from? It's not out there. Yeah, verse 2, where is it? Well, my help my help for my life, my meaning doesn't come from the hills, but from the Lord. And so every morning, every day, I've got to shift my life into devotion. This is where we got to begin. This is my go gear. This is how I get to rolling. This devotion helps to keep check on my passion. Passion, man, it's a great thing, and it runs right alongside of my devotion. These two are linked. But as I seek to be fully aware of God's presence and to be fully present to God, this keeps my passion centered in Christ. Devotion. Practice of being fully aware of God's presence and being what? Fully present to God. So this evening, I just want to encourage you to make devotion a part of your daily life, a vital part of your ascent to reach God's purpose for you. So shift your life every day into drive. You know, don't get stranded in park. Every day, begin by shifting into D, by being fully aware of God's presence and by being fully present to God. All right?